Hey, welcome back to What Would Father Say on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew again with the one and only Father John Gazzaldo. Father, thanks for carving some time out of your schedule.
One and only. I'm the only one who wants to be.
So we're picking back up then, folks, with our catechetical conversation about the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to dive into commandment number three. If you have not had a chance to listen to our conversation about the first two commandments, which we've done the last several weeks, I encourage you to go back to our website and you can pull them up. And remember, if you're listening on a Friday and you want to tell somebody that they missed it, and they can listen to it again on Sunday at 12:30. And if you're listening on Sunday, you can catch the original broadcast next Friday at 12:30 as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we are, 21st of February, and the third commandment, which, if you'll allow me, I'll just read right from the catechism. We're in section 2 of the Ten Commandments, chapter 1, article 3, the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work. There's a lot to unpack.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
So I'll just rip the Band-Aid off and let you go.
Well, I love the way the catechism covers this, because it reminds us what the Sabbath was for the Israelite people. It was part of the covenant, and it was a pretty good deal when it came to God, because God gave them the whole week, and he said, all I demand is to remind you of this covenant is one day. Keep one day to remember that you were set free from slavery, so they don't fall into slavery again. They don't find, because if you don't have a God, you'll find a God. You'll find a God. And that, I love what it says, 2170. Scripture, all Lord's Day, a memorial of Israel's liberation from the bondage of Egypt. You shall remember that you were a servant of the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out thence with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. And it says it's a sign of the irrevocable covenant that they give God one day to remind themselves who they belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And as we hear all through Exodus, Deuteronomy, oh my goodness, Leviticus, when they didn't, they always wanted to go back to Egypt. They always was something, or even worse, they found some other God to worship. Because we're made to worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is interesting, because we've been studying this in demonology class.
Mm.
Father Vincent Lambert always says, if you don't have a relationship with God, you have a relationship with something else. Either you've given your life to God, or you've given it to some other god, small g. Mm. And it was really for mercy of the Israelites that he said, no, be free, rest. And because you deserve it, because not only give you a chance for worship and family, but I have come to give you rest. I have come to give you rest. And if you don't take that rest, which is something we violate, I know people who work every single day.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday is just a regular.
It's just another day of the week.
Another day of the day of the week. And, you know, we can talk about that. But let's talk about what you had mentioned before the show. You know, this is one of the ways the church, in her authority, you know, what we can and cannot do. We still have a Sabbath as Christians, but it's not Saturday. Now we celebrate the Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's Day, which is the day of his resurrection. For them, for the Israelites, Passover was the, when they're celebrating, you know, the angel, God going through and striking down every firstborn, how they freed them. But we have to distinct ourselves from the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus rising on the third day, is that's the day we celebrate. That's the day we remember what God has done for us. And we worship on that day. And if we don't keep that, you know, we can make all kinds of covenants. It reminds me, even in the family, do we have a Sabbath meal? Not just on Sunday, but, you know, families will say, in this family, we meet once a day for dinner. You want to eat breakfast and lunch somewhere else, but at least we meet. We try to meet every day at a common meal. That's what keeps us together as a family. But once the kids are eating in their rooms in front of the TV, They don't know what they've lost. Yeah. They're worshiping something else. And we can get into this right now. My favorite line is the very next chapter. Next paragraph. 21:72. God's action is a model for human action. If God rested and was refreshed on the seventh day, man too ought to rest and should let others, especially the poor, be refreshed. The Sabbath brings everyday work to a halt and provides a respite. And here's my golden sentence. It is a day of protest against the servitude of work and the worship of money. You know, this plays out just even across the street. You know, if we go back when I was a little kid, 1970s, everything was closed on Sunday.
That's right.
Everything. You couldn't even go to the bank. And up north, they called them blue laws. Do you remember
those? We had blue laws down here in some places.
And we'd say, oh, we better go shopping. We better go because tomorrow's Sunday. And that was at least a day that they would give everybody a chance to rest. Everybody a chance. And, man, I could talk about even our schools. We would never think of going up to school on Sunday. You people would be shocked how kids will go up to school on Saturday and Sunday. And dare I say it, I won't say the school out loud. I was at a Catholic school. We had kids up there on Sundays going over testing, cheerleading, rehearsal for practices. Like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, why is it? Because there's something they turn to worship. Mm-hmm. A protest against a servitude of work and a worship of money.
But there's another key distinction that I think could be made here. And this is not a day to just sit around a couch and eat popcorn and flip through the channels.
But it's what you're giving your time to.
Yeah.
We're no longer giving our time to making money. Mm-hmm. We're no longer giving our time to a company, an institution that we work for to generate income. No, this is a day to invest in our family and our faith. That doesn't mean lying around all day. It doesn't mean lying. I don't rest on Sundays.
You're a tad busy on Sundays.
Oh, I am. We are rocking and rolling. But that's when I mostly invest in my people. And in their families, and in their faith, that's when we become more faithful. Mm-hmm. I keep on thinking of that. I bring this up. This image comes to mind all the time when we were little kids and we had those little tracks where we had cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there would be one part of the track that it would speed us up to the round of the rest of the car. Speed us up. You come through, you have to go through that to launch you into the rest of the track. Mm-hmm. And that's important because even in marriage, couples don't have a covenant Sabbath moment of their marriage, they will drift apart and they'll make excuses. I got to work.
Yeah.
I got to work. Okay, maybe you need to, you're sacrifice. I'd rather see you live in a cardboard box and still be married than living in a mansion and be divorced. Mm-hmm. Because couples do live in mansions and they get divorced. I was watching the biography on Johnny Carson.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh my gosh, poor guy. Because we grew up watching him. You know, he was divorced. He was married four times.
Yep.
And he lived in Malibu, you know, in California, the best houses in the world, multimillionaire. And how he on his last marriage, fourth marriage, and I'm not saying I'm not all you fans out of there, Johnny Carson, I think he was a great comedian.
Yeah.
But he stunk at marriage.
Yeah.
And in his last marriage, in the last few years of his life, they were already separated. They weren't living together. They were living – and so one of his friends said, why don't you just get divorced? You know, for his fourth divorce. Mm-hmm. He goes, I don't want to be the guy who got divorced four times. So he just wrote it out and lived his life alone in his mansion, making all kinds of money. And was he happy? Did he know what a covenant relationship was? He did not.
It's interesting. The first three didn't bother him, but the fourth one did.
Yeah. So I don't want to be in the butt.
Yeah.
But all relationships are like that. If you do not set apart a time, if you do not set apart a time, stop saying you don't have time for this, that relationship will die.
Yeah. But the other distinction I think that's important to make here when we talk about rest on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, that's also not a prescription for or an excuse rather to say, no, we can't even cook any meals. That, and actually, I've had priests that would argue the exact opposite, that you should, that's an opportunity to come home from Mass and as a family, cook a meal, invite friends, invite neighbors.
Yeah.
The extended family or whatever, but as a family to cook that meal and enjoy that communal time and celebrate what the Lord has provided.
Yeah, because Caesar wants you up making money for him.
Yeah.
But the Lord says, no, you know, invest in your family. It says you're not supposed to do unnecessary work.
Yeah.
But you're right, cooking a meal, that's how Jesus worked.
Yeah.
Whenever he was preaching, there was always a meal involved that he was investing as in apostles. He would even take them away for a time to rest. They were eating, they were cooking together. But they weren't out in the fields or out on fishing, mm-hmm. because fishing is, you know, you either work to live or you live to work.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there now who now live to work. Now, I, having said this, you know, when I was teaching in high school and junior high, you know, we'd work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes on Sunday I'd go to Mass and sure, I'd sneak up to school and plan my week in the dark. And, you know, sometimes people do that. If not, if I had planned better, I'd have done that on Saturday. But we were always working on Saturday, too. Yeah. We had tournaments all mm-hmm. week. And but I think the best place I learned, I would go up at night. But when I was working at a Catholic school, you know, we would try to make Sundays were for rest and mm-hmm. hang out with the brothers. And we had meals every night. We had to cook, prayer time. But even if we went up on Monday and didn't know what we were doing, we would wing it. We would do something because we would say that, sure, the kids deserve, but my prayer time and Sabbath time come before them.
Yeah.
Do you trust in God? Do you trust in Him? And that really what it comes down to, because when we violate the Lord's Day, we're saying, we don't trust you, God, to provide for us. Yeah. I have to work 7 days a week. You know, if I could bring this up too, it's kind of sad. I'll give you two examples of this. There was a church in a town I used to live in, there was a famous Mexican restaurant. And that family, they made most of their money on Sunday.
Mm.
So they didn't come to church on Sunday. They didn't come to Mass on Sunday. They would come on Wednesdays. And it was always an issue. Even I was an associate pastor, and I would say to the pastor, you know, this family comes on Wednesdays and receiving communion. Should they be even receiving? Well, it's not practical for them to come on Sundays.
Hmm.
So they're openly violating the Sabbath, moving their Sabbath to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a violation there now. You know, God's, you know, do I come first in your life or does the business come mm-hmm. first in your life? Having said that, I was in San Antonio a few years ago. And again, there was another Mexican restaurant. And it had the hours and was amazing. It had a sign. You know, what do they call those signs outside? This,
the marquee.
Marquee.
Yeah.
On the marquee it said, open Monday through Saturday, 6 to 10 p.m. Sunday, closed for family and worship. That's went awesome. Inside. Now, we assumed that they were a Catholic family because they were a Mexican, Hispanic. Found out they were Catholic and they became Pentecostal. I said, they're stealing pages out of our book, and they're being better about this. I remember Sunday, closed, family, and worship. You know, we can learn something from them.
Yeah.
But we Catholics are just oftentimes, and don't get me into select soccer and volleyball tournaments.
Well, I was actually, that's where I wanted to go.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, that's the biggest fight.
But I think this is, because part of this commandment says that we have a responsibility to not make work for others.
Yeah.
And so if we drive right to, there. If we drive to that large football stadium in Arlington, Texas, because, and we take all our family because we're celebrating a family event, you know, in our community, we're forcing other people.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
Potentially miss work because they've got to be at that stadium early in the day to start popping all the popcorn and doing all the other things that go into a 12 o'clock noon kickoff.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, in order to get to Dallas and you're in a three-hour drive, I mean, it's like...
I would call football stadiums modern-day cathedrals.
Absolutely.
Because people will drive hours, sacrifice time, and lots of money.
Treasure.
I went to a college football game.
Mm-hmm.
College football game many years ago at Willie's World. What's his name? Rodney World?
Jerry World.
Jerry World. There you go. This was on a Saturday, so I went up there. We paid $50 to park. To park.
Ridiculous.
And we went inside, and I went to, you know, the I don't even know how much the tickets were.
Yeah.
But we decided, I decided to go get a hamburger, fries, and a Coke. That's $35.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I just want one.
Just one.
Just one. No, that's how much it cost. Yeah. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. I remember saying, I'm never coming back here again. But that is the modern cathedral where really they do, where you have guys who would never open their mouth at church and sing. Oh, but they're just singing the fight song with top of their lungs. Mm-hmm. And you have these now college games where people say, come as you are. No, they're in their uniform.
Yeah.
They're in their, you know, orange out, maroon out, red out, singing the song, singing the fight song, paying out the wazoo, spending. And that's not a, you know, the game is 3 hours, 2-3 hours. They show up for the
7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh, they're there for the tailgate, the post game, and if their team loses, they're depressed for the next week.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not a football fan at all, but Dallas Cowboy fans, I've seen them after their team lost.
Oh, yeah.
They're depressed for a whole week. It's like, dude, you paid all that money, and those guys on the field are not high school kids.
Yeah, they're grown adults.
These guys are millionaires, multi-millionaires. That's always strange. You watch some multi 25-year-old kid walking off the field sad because he just lost and know how much his signing bonus was.
Exactly. But it gets back to, you know, we were kind of talking about some of that and when we were talking about the first commandment and what is your God?
Yes.
You know,
it's
the same kind of thing.
And we can quantify that now. What do you give your time, talent, and treasure to? You know, I don't know about your bank account. I have a checking account. And it actually has a little pie chart. Mine does to see where my money's going.
Mm.
My money's going. And it seems to know even... like the grocery bills, because I use that card too. They know how much goes to groceries, how much goes to charity, how much goes to church, how much goes to taxes and gasoline. And, you know, with modern technology now, you can track your hours. How many hours do you work a week? You know, when you're right out of college, okay, we always say you pay your dues. When I was right out of college, I was up at school all the time, junior high, getting ready. That they say you got to pay your dues.
Mm-hmm.
But I would see the married men and their families sacrifice. My first athletic director, he always said, we'll meet all, because during football season, they work constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we would work all day on Saturday. He said, we will take Sunday off, even if we have to work late on Saturday. But like back to football again, college coaches, even most high, they will say during football season, we will work every day.
Mm-hmm.
We will work every day. We have let that happen. We have let that happen, and now when I was in college, I worked at Walmart, and full-time people didn't work on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Full-timers worked Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of us college kids came on Saturday and Sunday, but on Sunday, we got time and a half.
Huh.
You got time and a half. You're working on Sunday, we'll pay you a little more. They don't do that anymore.
No. It just
doesn't close. The place just doesn't close. Everything's gone 24 hours.
You know, I think it's interesting. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to be in Europe. And when I was working at the Pentagon, I had a NATO exercise as part of my portfolio. And so I spent
NATO
a lot of time,
exercise.
Yeah, spent a lot of time in Europe planning exercises. And there's still a lot of places. It's not exclusive. But there's probably more than in the United States, but there's still a lot of places in Europe that things are closed on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about Albania, which you would not really consider to be a large Catholic country, everything was closed on Sunday, with the exception of the airport because we had to fly home.
I think this is one of the reasons why Islam is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because during Ramadan, things shut down.
Yeah.
They fast all, and they don't mess around. It's a state, country law that everybody has to enter into time of fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. I always look at Islam and say, they stole some of the pages out of our playbook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Children, family, the father's the head of the household.
They put religion at the forefront of everything.
They pray five times a day. Yeah. That's straight out of the monastic light. They stole all of our, because they're not stupid.
Right.
They're not stupid. Yeah.
Interesting.
There's another paragraph I want to get to. It's called, we celebrate our Sabbath is on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
But the catechism points to that it's like built in us. It's built in us. Paragraph 2176. The celebration of Sunday observes the moral commandment inscribed by nature in the human heart to render to God an outward, visible, public, and regular worship as a sign of the universal benefits to all. Now, that's St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
He's saying that a Sunday Sabbath is already built in us. That we're regular, not just to sit around, but to have an outward, visible, public, regular worship. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, Islam. Five times a day, they pull out their carpet, mm-hmm. they drop down, and they say their little prayer. It's not much, but they don't care who's there. They just do it. I think it's already a powerful sign when couples go to, or families go to restaurants, and they make the sign of the cross as they say grace. But it continues. Still, paragraph 2176. Mm-hmm. Sunday worship fulfills the moral commandment of the Old Covenant, taking up its rhythm and the spirit in the weekly celebration of the Creator and Redeemer of His people. This is something the Church has always known, that our Catholic life, our Christian life, has a rhythm to it. Has a rhythm. And the liturgical year is a rhythm. And if you get out of that rhythm, then you lose rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse. You lose momentum. You lose momentum. And, prayer has to become not just automatic. Like the days when I wake up and I don't say my rosary, I'm not saying I'm holier than anybody else.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just saying I develop a habit. If I don't say my rosary in my morning prayer, it's like I have an itch on my neck that has got to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if I continue to ignore that itch, it will go away. It's like morals. There's a great book called What We Can't Not Know by Jay Buzashev. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
He says we all have things written on our hearts, our conscience of right and wrong. But if we suppress them, we have to suppress them. And they will go down. They will go away. And there's certain things we can't not know. But to the point where if you go into any hardened criminal, they have no conscience.
Mm-hmm.
They have no empathy or sympathy. It's gone. There's no sensibility.
Suppressed it for so long.
But like a child who's taught right, brought up in the way of the faith, the first time they lie, it will affect them. It's like they'll have a brain splash, and the guilt will hit them the first time. But they keep doing it. They keep doing it. It's like smoking. You ever? Smokers will tell you the first time they smoked, how they choked and coughed. But after a while,
that's right. They keep going.
After a while, not only does that go away, they actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was a purveyor of smokeless tobacco for a very, very, very long time.
Oh yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Dipping Copenhagen.
Oh okay, got it. Oh my goodness,
chewing tobacco and things like that.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, and it was the same thing. It's like the first time I threw up but then a couple of days later it's like, let's try this again,
Wow.
And I always said to myself, the classic addict,
I quit when I want to.
Well, I don't dip because I need it. I dip because I like the way it tastes. I like the flavor. Classic addict, comment.
Oh, yeah, and smokers, they always say, when Pat gets up to $4, I'll quit. Yeah. When
it gets I actually did that. I always kind of half jokingly told my mom, I was like, Mom, when Copenhagen gets to $5 a can, I'm going to quit. And when I moved down here in 2008, Moved back to Fort Hood in 2008. Got reassigned. Walked into the little shop at on post, and I told the girl, I was like, I need two cans of Copenhagen. And she says, that's 10.04. And I said, no, I just need two. And she says, yeah, it's 10.04. And I'm like, $10? This is $5 a can? And she's like, yes, it's $5.02. And I walked outside and
pulled out my
flip phone and boop, boop, boop. Had to, even with the cell phone back then, you had to like punch numbers.
Yeah.
And he said, I called my mom and I said, Mom, I just bought my last two cans of Copenhagen. And she's like, you're kidding me. And I was like, nope. I said, I spent $10.04 on two cans of Copenhagen. I got all three names for my mom, which, you get all three of your names from your mom. That's never a good thing.
Oh, I see what you mean. She's going by you.
I got my full name. She's like, how can you afford that? I was like,
well, you might be the only one, because Copenhagen has gone up now.
It's ridiculous.
I can't
imagine what it's like.
So I want to talk about another aspect of it. Go ahead.
Before you go there. Because we got about a minute and a half here before we're going to run out of time here on this week's episode, and I want to capture that, and I want to get into a little more of the obligation and holy days of obligation.
Okay, yeah.
As we get into next week, and then looking out and really kind of where the church has put us. I'm using the term in the box the church has put us in. That may not be the right way to capture it, with this Jubilee year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And how this ties in. We'll dive into that a little bit more next week. But I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. Your analogy of the race car track with the little cars, and that little engine that you would hit that thing and speed up. And that's your Sunday. That's going to Mass on Sunday where you
recharge
your
batteries, you get more energy, fed.
I like to think about the slope of the track, the downward slope of the track, the rest of the way around that loop is Catholic radio.
Right? Okay.
All right, because it's sloped a little bit downward, so you're still getting a little momentum. The more you listen to Catholic radio, the more you get a little bit more of that momentum till everybody come back to church on the following Sunday and get that blast from you and re-energized.
I agree. Did you want me to talk about that?
No, I just something. Oh, okay. I'm talking about it.
Oh, okay.
We can always talk about that later.
Well, I think it's a fantastic analogy. I think it is.
We got to go cut off for this week. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We will be back on the air next Friday at 12:30. We're going to pick back up with our conversation here with commandment number 3. But Father, please, if you wouldn't mind giving us a quick blessing.
And let's just end with the doxology. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. All right, folks. We'll see you next week.